Today on Dare to Develop, we're so excited to welcome a dear friend of ours, Megan Kay, a destination photographer based in Dallas, Texas, to the podcast.
She is chatting with us all today about shooting a celebrity wedding. She had the pleasure of shooting Maddie Pruitt and Grant Trout's wedding, and Maddie was on The Bachelor, so we'll get all the details from that.
Yes. Megan is also a dear friend of both of ours. Megan has been in my accountability group for several years, and we had the pleasure of meeting Megan actually right before we started this podcast at Hybrid 2020 and have stayed good friends since then. So we are ready for a fun conversation today.
You're listening to Dare to Develop, a podcast for creatives. I'm Christine Herman.
And I'm Ashley Baumgartner, and we are two hybrid wedding photographers that dub ourselves work wives.
With a passion for developing community and daring to take risks in business and art, we want to bring you along on a journey.
The journey of artists, makers, business professionals, and more who want to level up their businesses by daring greatly and developing community.
So let's get started.
Welcome back to Dare to Develop. Today, we're so excited to chat with Megan Kay, a destination wedding photographer based in Dallas, Texas.
Today, we're chatting all about developing a team and plan for shooting a celebrity wedding. Thanks so much for being here with us, Megan.
I'm so excited.
So before we dive into all things wedding photography, we'd love for you to tell us just a little bit more about yourself and who you are as a person.
So my name is Megan. As I said, I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm born and raised Texan. I love living here. I do love traveling. I do a lot of that, but it's really nice being like centrally located in the U.S. and just the people in Texas are amazing. I mean, you can probably ask any Texan and we'd all say the same thing. I have been shooting weddings now for 9 years, which is crazy to say. I started my business when I was in college. I was working like 3 jobs at the time. And one of them was photography, doing like families and seniors. And then I fell into my first wedding, literally had no idea what I was doing. I knew there was like a first kiss at like some point of the day. And I was like, I just got to make sure that I get the first kiss because they probably like can't do that twice. And I think I charged like $275 for that too. I was like, this is awesome. But I fell in love with that. And like the more that I was shooting and like the time I saw that I put in, the more I grew in my skill set, I realized like weddings are like what I wanted to focus on. I feel like in terms of life, like time is really valuable and like what we put our time to really matters. And I think wedding work, like as apart from like shooting fashion or like shooting families, and families are so important too, and just people. But wedding work, I feel like, is so generationally important. It's something that our clients are going to value, you know, for generations to come. And probably the people even after them are going to look back at their wedding photos. So I know like the time that I put into editing and to getting to know my clients and they're telling their stories is just meaningful. And that's like one of the main reasons I love what I do, because I love people. Yeah.
I love that. So tell us a little bit more about getting into your journey into the wedding world, like where you started, where you are now.
From 275 to what?
It is crazy. The weddings that I have shot over the years have definitely continued to evolve over time. Yeah, 275 was a very small town church wedding with like crackers in the back and probably, we did have a cake, but I think it was even like an afternoon, you know, short little, probably like a 3-4 hour day, which is, is probably different than everyone listening to this podcast does now. And I believe like my first several weddings, I had a 4 hour minimum. And so a lot of the weddings I was shooting were smaller. And I did not know at that time that like you could second shoot to like learn and like help other people and grow like in your skill set in that way. So honestly, like it's a miracle that I never messed anything up with like beginning kind of how I did. Yeah, I'm really grateful for that. But kind of just, I hustled really hard at the beginning, did as many like weddings and shoots as I could. Facebook was really big back then in like the small towns where I was shooting. And so if you posted on Facebook and like tagged every person that you could at the wedding, and then they would reshare it, and then more and more people would see your post. And I believe Facebook was probably what kept me busy back then. And then over the years, investing in education has been huge. I've done the math on like how much education I've invested in it. It's over $100,000, which is also really crazy. But like if I did not do that, then there's no way that I'd be where I am today. Just like learning from like the experts, I'd say like marketing is incredibly important. Of course, like knowing your skills are incredibly important too. But I'd say in terms of like changing the weddings in which you're shooting, marketing and learning like the luxury industry is the utmost important.
Yeah. Well, and that's a perfect segue into, you know, as for 3 years, we've watched your beautiful work evolve and, you know, your business grow. And over the last 2 years, I feel like especially you've really leapfrogged into the luxury market. And so can you talk a little bit more about how you kind of took that next step to get from just the pretty Southern weddings, you know, that we see a lot of on social media and all of that to really into the luxury market?
Yeah, it still is. Sometimes I have to pinch myself because I'm like, wow, this is like what I dreamed of and what I have been working like so hard for, but I didn't. And it is possible. It's possible for anybody. I truly believe. I would say like E3, Educate, Empower, and Courage has been big. And I know you two are both in that group as well. And then like the friendships that have come out of that group, like my accountability group of photographers, several planners that I'm like really close friends with, we've kind of grown together with like where we were starting and where we were wanting to go. And just even like brainstormed together, talked about like how we can help each other, how we can market to a different clientele, like even one, not just, I would say like, not just one that like makes more money. Like I believe the clients that like I'm shooting now, I also truly align with on a very personal level. And then it's really cool to see that also happen for like a lot of my friends in the industry too. Like for instance, my friend Alexa K Events, she's one of my best friends outside of the industry too. And she loves the mountains. And like throughout the last 2 years, I'd say even for her, we've done shoots together like in the mountains and tried to set ourselves up for her like more so as a mountain planner. And like she's gotten so many more inquiries and even events through that. And that's same for me with like some other planners too, just like helping each other out as we grow towards people that align with us personally. And then it's great because they also usually, the more we niche down, there's people who are also willing to invest more and have an incredibly designed, exceptional wedding as well.
And I think what's so important that you talked about is you propelled yourself not alone, but with others. You surrounded yourself with an amazing community who thinks like you, who wants the same things as you, and really just helped each other out, which I think is really, really important to get to that next step. So I love that.
Yes. If you want to go, well, they say if you want to go fast, go alone, but if you want to go far, go together. I'm not sure that you can even go fast alone, but you go farther if you go together. And it's also a lot more fun because our industry can be lonely. I mean, I'm sure y'all know it's a lot of time editing. If you're a destination photographer, you spend a lot of time traveling. If you do have a family, like you're probably away from your family when you're traveling. And if you don't have community, it can be really lonely too.
Hey, Christine popping in to talk a little about flat lays. If that is something that you've been thinking of and want to up your game with design, or you're a florist and want to learn more about the foundations of how to do a flat lay with florals, or you're a stationer planner, this is really for everyone. Ashley has a mini course called Foundations of Flat Lays that she is, of course, Queen of Flat Lays. So if you are thinking of maybe diving into something like this, she really is very knowledgeable and will give you the great course of how to do a flat lay and just the background really of it. So if this is something you're thinking of, you could DM Ashley on Instagram and she will send you the link. Goodbye.
All right, let's dive into the meat of it. So speaking of the luxury market, you had the pleasure of shooting recently a bachelor wedding, Maddie Pruitt and Grant Trout. So we'd love to just chat all about that today on the podcast. And let's just start at the beginning of like, you know, booking the wedding and then let's go from there.
Awesome. Yeah, it was always like on my dream board to like shoot a bachelor wedding. Like I'm always like, I just really want to shoot a bachelor wedding. And if I was to have, I honestly haven't watched the franchise very much since COVID. I got a little bit whenever they had like the season where they were all in resorts. I was like, I need the world travel. Like, I'm a little bit tired of then just doing things like at this one resort. Yes. So I honestly don't keep up with it very much anymore, but I loved Maddie Pruitt. I loved her story. I loved her heart. And I did watch her season when she was on with Peter, and I used to watch it with like a lot of my friends. And of course we were all like obsessed. We all follow these people and they're influencers as well. And it's just, we all know like in today's world, it's fun to follow influencers in their lives, especially after the show. So I had known that she moved to Dallas and like ran in some similar circles as I did, but I was never going to like, I'd be like, I'd think in the back of my head, oh, like it'd be coolest if we ran into each other someday, but I'm never going to like be creepy and like make that happen. But then the day she got engaged, I saw it on Instagram. I was like, wow, that's crazy. Like how cool would it be to shoot her wedding? And then the next day she posted an Instagram story and was asking for like photographer recommendations. And I didn't see it until probably like 12 hours or something after she had posted that. And one of my past brides like DM'd it to me and was like, Megan, like you need to hop on this. Like you need to put your name like in the bucket. Like she lives in Dallas and you live there too. And I was like thinking in the back of my head, like, oh my gosh, like there's no way she's even going to see my name. Like I'm 12 hours into this and she probably got flooded. She has like 2 million followers. It's like, she probably just got flooded with her DMs. Anyways, I did put my name in there. I didn't hear back for like a week. And then about a week later, she DM'd me and asked if I was available for her date and said that her and her mom like both went through like every person in the list and came to me separately. And I was like, wow, like that's incredible. And I was available for the date. And it was in October, which is like one of the busiest wedding months in Texas. So it's really just miraculous that I had that day available. And yeah, that's how that all began. We got on a call, we got to know each other, and the rest is history.
Don't be afraid to go into the DMs is the moral of that story. Like, shot.
And man of that.
Yeah. Yes.
Shoot your shot, pay attention to DMs, because you'd be, I guess a lot of times they do, people are looking at their Instagram DMs. You never know.
Right, especially with influencers. I feel like they do a lot within the DMs.
Yeah, so they track it, they do collabs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we'd love to learn, now that you have booked this wedding, you're excited, how did you decide how many people to bring on your team? How many people did you bring?
Yeah, great question. That was a lot to like really think through. I feel like with a wedding of this like caliber, so they said there would be between 450 and 500 guests. So I knew that off the bat. But the closer we got to the date, the more like I was in communication with the planner, Whitney, with Engaged Events. She's amazing. And I feel like there was a lot more planning and even like storyboarding that went into like the way that we captured the day, that I got to know like from Whitney and what Maddie wanted and what publications were wanting. And so from all of that, I had to just, that helped me decide like, how many people do I need to be shooting like these different times of the day? That sometimes we need simultaneous coverage. I mean, even a normal wedding, you know, usually at least you have a second shooter because there's a lot of stuff happening at the same time. There ended up being 6 of us, which is a lot. So myself and 5 other shooters, one of the shooters, she only shot a little bit at the reception because she was mostly there to help me with like offloading my SD cards and then helping me cool down what would be edited for Maddie to post that night and also for People Magazine that night as well. So she was more so, I'd say, like a personal assistant, but she did end up shooting a bit. So I guess like there was a team of 6 of us, but it wasn't like constantly we were all shooting.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I believe, if I recall from conversations we've had, you had like some team members shoot film. Did you have someone do the drone? Like what did that all look like?
Yes. So I knew for like, at least also like getting ready, telling the story of all of that, I knew I wanted a male photographer to really lead kind of the groom side of things. And I thought they would have more fun together and also be more casual. And so I hired Mark Boatwright. He was awesome. And to kind of lead that. And turned out he even knew some of the groomsmen. Who knew? They had worked at, or they had gone to camp together growing up.
Oh my gosh.
Which is... So that worked out great. And I had him shooting digital. And then I had my friend Stephanie Michelle photography shooting film. So yeah, we did kind of divide and conquer. I knew that a lot of like editing I would do next day and throughout that weekend to be able to like turn over a lot of photos quickly. And I wanted to make sure that we had digital photos to be able to do that. But I also love film and I didn't want to sacrifice like the opportunity to also shoot film. So we really did delegate that. So they were in more control of like the groom side of things. And on my side of things, I was shooting digital. I had two Sony bodies with like my two favorite lenses on one on each of them. A lot of times I'm usually like switching lenses on a normal day because I personally will shoot film too. But this day I just focused solely on digital. And then my friend Savannah K Photography, I flew her in from Charleston and she was shooting film all day, contacts, medium format. And then we did also some fun like point and shoot film too. And then my sister was more so in charge of the drone. I will plug Mackenzie. She only shoots for me, but she is an incredible drone photographer. She comes with me to a lot of my destination weddings as well. And so we had game plan like the different parts of the day that we really wanted to focus on the drone coverage. And then the rest of the day, she was also like kind of a hands-on assistant in a lot of ways too. She did shoot some, but I mostly delegated drone to her just because the design that Whitney had like figured out with the property of the Grants Mansion was, we knew it would be so beautiful from an aerial perspective. So we wanted to shoot it, you know, like without guests, with guests. And that took a lot of time to really plan ahead and like execute.
I love that. And I love that you had team members prioritizing different elements of the day, different formats of the day. It really shows that I think sometimes we fall into the trap of like, especially being the lead photographer, we have to do it all. We have to be the one to operate the drone. We have to be the one to shoot the film. We have to be the one to do this since it's our name on it. But at the end of the day, you did what was best for your client and you got them so much variety because you delegated, which mm-hmm. I think is hard to do sometimes for us business owners.
Yes. And yeah, now after doing that, I love delegating. And I feel like a lot of what I love about shooting weddings is that connection with the client and like just really, and even like the client's mom and like really just making them feel very cared for and like their story is so important and really told. And I feel like if I would have been focused on like, I got to do X, Y, and Z and like all these things all at the same time, I wouldn't have been able to establish that personal connection and like make my clients feel as important as they are and their story really is, because I would have been, my mind would have been in too many places.
Or you just wouldn't be there when something happens and miss moments because you wanted to get this certain thing. So I absolutely love that. And so like we were talking a little bit about, you know, how like onboarding was with the planner, but like, can you say how different this wedding was than say like a non-celebrity wedding, like some things that came up?
Yes, I'd say definitely planning ahead for a publication was a large part of it because there were specific shots like we had to get edited by 8 p.m. that night. And so the time also continued, it would change. They'd be like, we need them by 6 p.m. Oh, we need them by 7 p.m. Oh, 8 p.m. So it was like also like we didn't really know when they were needed. It was like a lot of middlemen and kind of the connections for publication. But I had to plan all of that into our photo timeline as well, just making sure we had these photos like culled and edited from these specific parts of the day. So that was definitely different than a normal wedding.
I know one of the things I was curious about in the celebrity / influencer world is like, did you have to work alongside content creator related people or anything? Like, did the bride or groom want to prioritize time to make like their own TikToks or their own, you know, reels or take their own cell phone content or anything like that? I was curious if that came into play in your photo timeline, you know, throughout the day. Because I think we've all had even just non-celebrity weddings where bridesmaids are like, hold on, I want to make this TikTok. Like, we need to stop what we're doing and film the second half of this getting ready, you know, clip.
Yes, there was a social content creator there with her iPhone filming basically the whole day. She was basically on my side the whole day. We did meet ahead. We actually had, I believe, two Zoom calls before the wedding to really talk through our plan. And I got her also on board with like my photo timeline And there were a few TikToks that they had to do. Most of them were in like the hair and makeup portion of the day. So they didn't really eat into that much of the timeline of the rest of the day, which was great. And she would always say, like, your priority, like, over the phone. But, like, I also would really love to get everything that you get. So a lot of times I would have them do things twice. Like, I would instruct still what was happening, and then they would do it again for the phone. So it did take up more time than a normal wedding would for, like, portraits and different moving from point A to point B. Rather than just like it candidly happening, because there were so many cooks in the kitchen. But it wasn't like, since we had planned ahead so much, it wasn't stressful or like unexpected. And their content creator was also very, very nice. So it was just, I'm just glad I knew ahead of time and it wasn't like something, a surprise. Yeah.
And I think what you keep coming back to a lot is everything you did prior to the wedding. You did so much work prior to this wedding that on the wedding day, you had everything figured out. Nothing was going to come up. I mean, things do come up, but you were very aware of everything that you can control beforehand, which is really important for a wedding day.
Yes, it was helpful. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. That's what I always run by.
I love
to plan.
Yes, I love them. So I know a little bit more about, like, with a content creation person, you said like it kind of ate into your timeline because of like them being influencers, being a little bit higher up. Did you get a lot less time with them? Was things kind of cut down even more so where they're like, okay, we have 5 minutes, but we're going to go do this other thing now because we want to enjoy the day? Or was everything kind of still the same?
I mean, we all know sometimes timelines don't always go as planned. I believe there were some parts of the day we probably needed more time to do different things. And even just like the bridesmaids got ready at a different location than the wedding was. And like the transportation took a while to get everybody there, you know, without being seen by the groomsmen and the groom. And so we definitely did get behind a little bit. And with all the people who did need the content, it was a little bit more difficult to like capture some of those moments and have time to do as much like creative as I probably would have liked to do. But I mean, the meat of it all was all beautiful. And we had great, like, there was great time for like all of the meaningful moments, like the mother and daughter getting dressed. And then even a prayer with all the bridesmaids and house party beforehand. And her and Grant did a really cute first touch. So we still were able to get in a lot of the stuff on the forefront of things. It was close to the ceremony that we did finish up everything that we needed to do.
I love that even, you know, high caliber, high touch weddings can still get behind just like the other weddings.
Yes, it was just a lot. And the weather was not the best that day. It was kind of raining on and off a little bit. And I believe that affected like some things with like the design and of course, and like when you could put the flowers out and things like that. So the planning team, they also had a huge team there that day. They were handling all of that very well. But yeah, things can definitely still go awry at times, but we still get our clients married and have a beautiful day.
Yes. So speaking of like the planning team and the content creators, was this wedding how you interact with the clients and how you interact with the vendor team different than, say, a non-celebrity wedding?
I would say I actually approached it the same way. It was all very, very natural. And I got to know like Maddie and Grant very well and like what was really important to them. And it was just, I really, really love all of my clients, celebrity or not. And love like understanding like their core values and like what they really want captured and their like family relationships. And, you know, I love giving my clients portraits that are like timeless, but also I love giving personality, like candid moments. But I feel like in order for me to deliver on that, I have to know and understand my clients really well, which like I still was able to do with Maddie and Grant, which was I didn't know if like a wedding of this caliber would be that way, but I'm really like happy to say that it was. And it like blessed my heart too, just like witnessing these really, really sweet moments between family and between Maddie and Grant. And yeah, it was a great, wholesome day.
Yeah. I feel like going full circle of you talking about how much you care about your couples, that you would get your celebrity couple would be also in that same caliber of what you want. So I love that. So I know you chatted a little bit about like post-production, you had to get everything done by a certain timeline. Can you kind of dive into that of how it was like to like work with people and what you had to get done for them to share on Instagram?
Yes. So she has a few girls on her social media team and they're also really sweet. And I had worked with them prior at their engagement shoot too. So I had also gotten to know them. And then we had also, they were on the Zoom calls with the content creator too. So we had several, like, we had several meetings where we were all on the same page, which was really helpful. But we had to select like several images of different scenes to like present to Maddie and Grant to post like during the reception. And so they posted first and then people posted second. So first we had to give them the options and then people, the photos we had listed to give to people were all stuff that people had like agreed upon with them before. So those ones were less of like needed approval from like Maddie's team. They were more so sometimes like, you know, they were just of like people who had sponsored different things throughout the day. But I believe, I don't remember all the exact times, but I did have to, I was personally editing some of the images. I had my assistant, Julia, cull it down. And I still wanted to edit it before because I was like, that you never know if you'll get another chance to be in front of this many people with your work. So I really wanted to make sure that I loved like all the colors, all of the tones. There wasn't anything distracting in the background. And so I would have had her edit for me because she is also an incredible editor, but I just feel like I couldn't give up that little part. So there was a part during dinner when guests were eating that I was editing. And thankfully, the timing had all worked out for me to only really miss the part of dinner as I was editing for these publications and for Maddie.
So that was definitely, I'm sure, a lot to take on with the people deadlines and just having to figure out what you do versus what your team members do. And so definitely a learning experience across the board. Coming out of this celebrity, you know, larger scale wedding, what do you wish you had known before shooting a wedding of this caliber?
Good question. I honestly feel like my team did an incredible, incredible job. I was very, very happy with honestly how we all executed the day and the images that were produced as well. I know a lot of high caliber weddings have a like bridal stylist that is on site all day, just to kind of help with the dress, make sure it's laying beautifully, like hair and makeup. And I had thought like that was probably going to happen. And now I know next time I'll probably ask to like ensure that we have an extra person on hand there all day, like hair and makeup touch-ups and just like, you know, just styling the dress, all those things, because my team did a great job in helping with that. But it's also like really helpful, you know, if you don't have to look at those details as much as a photographer, if you can more so just focus on taking the pictures. So next time I will ask that question. And if they don't say they have one, I will suggest that we find one. Like I said, my team did a great job. I think it would have been really wise to have a better marketing plan when it came to after the wedding. My site and Instagram definitely had a lot of increased traffic, probably like a 10 or 100 times monthly what it is now, which is really cool to see those statistics, but also like sad when they leave. But I mentally was more so thinking of like executing the day rather than like ensuring I'm taking full opportunities to really like put myself in front of like multiple viewers, multiple eyes, and like grow a social media presence online, which like I think, I mean, at the end of the day, like serving my clients is always number one. But if I would have hired someone to help me like create reels or create TikToks off of like the content that we have, like I think I could have like really benefited from that. And maybe not in like a booking sense, because I have seen some great bookings come in since this wedding, but in just in terms of growing like follower count and just growing like a bigger audience. So I wish that I would have done something along those lines. And I would highly recommend anybody who has a wedding on a high caliber to like also try to think outside the box in that way beforehand too.
And I think like, you know, now next time, but I think maybe you're like, I want to be there for my clients, but you said if I hire a social media manager, then they can create all this stuff for you to just take it to the next level. So
I love that.
Can you tell us a little bit now of the benefits you've seen from shooting this wedding after everything happened and it blew up on people and what your business is now?
Yes. So definitely I'd say the viewership of the wedding and the images was a large benefit because people all over the world were like seeing my images that maybe had never heard of me, which is a very humbling and also really cool experience. And so I was asked to shoot a Louis Vuitton fashion show because of it, which is awesome. They knew that I was local to Dallas and since I had shot Maddie Pruitt's wedding and I got to live like my Devil Wears Prada dream, which is, it was a lot of like overnight editing because I had to get them a lot of images to Paris before they opened the next day. And we're a 7-hour time difference. But so that was a really cool opportunity that came out of it. I'd say I've had a lot of other really great like emails from incredible planners that I would have like in my wildest dreams ever thought would have reached out to me that had like since the wedding and just kind of bookings more all over the US and the world that I didn't see as I saw. I was doing quite a bit of destination before Maddie's wedding, but now I would say like I'm mostly a destination photographer and I'm also able to like pick and choose a lot of like my clients and like where I want to travel to, like, which is awesome.
I love that. And it's been so fun to see you just continually blow up since the wedding mm-hmm. and since the images went live. And so we commend your progress.
No, thank you.
For you as well. So in summary of this conversation, what advice would you give to vendors who want to pursue a celebrity, an influencer wedding?
I would say it is a lot of hard work. So to make sure that you have the time and like the capacity to be able to take that on. I'm not married. I only have a dog. So like if I had a spouse or children and I needed to like be up all night editing and just like working there. I mean, also like, yeah, publications and advertisers would come to me all the time asking for things like probably 2 weeks after the wedding. And I just had it. I was like constantly pumping stuff out. And if I had people who were relying on me, like emotionally or to feed them or besides my dog, things like that, then I don't think it would be as doable. I'm not saying it's impossible, but like I know like mom guilt is real and I can imagine like how that could be really, really hard in that situation. So I would make sure people would have like the capacity to be able to like take on a large scale project like this or at least have a good team of like help to be able to manage it. And I would also say like to really think inwards about like why you want to do it. Like, I mean, and also like, are you canceling yourself out from like thinking that you're even an option for these people to be able to shoot these weddings? Because I know a lot of us deal with imposter syndrome at times. And like, I have been in several situations where I have just canceled myself out from like being an option for like certain opportunities because I'm like, I don't deserve this, or like just internal matters of like, am I good enough? And I mean, you need to be really secure in your craft and your work in order to shoot something of this high caliber. But also I would like really look at your heart and be like, am I ready for this? Like, do I feel confident enough to do this? Am I able to like survive and thrive? You want to be able to thrive like in a high stakes, high stress environment. And so I would do a lot of inward looking, I guess, before you would decide to take on or try to pursue something like this.
Yeah, I think that's great. And thank you so much for talking all about Maddie and Grant's wedding. We'd love to go into a time of fast facts for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better.
Awesome.
So first up, what do you shoot with?
I shoot on a lot of cameras. My digital setup is a Sony A1, and I love like my 50 1.4 Zeiss lens and my 24-70 G Master lens. And for my digital setup, when it comes to film, I shoot on a Contax 6.45. I also now own a Pentax 6.45 N2, and I'm seeing if I actually might want to switch to that for medium format. I also shoot a lot of different 35mm film cameras, and my Mavic Mini Pro 3 drone And sometimes I switch to my Canon R5 for reception with flash.
Everything.
Stacked.
Yes. So what is your favorite post-wedding snack or late night publication deadline munch snack that you are eating while you're trying to hit these deadlines?
Yeah, I definitely did have to eat a snack and drink an energy drink. On these evenings, I would get a bag, not eat the whole bag, but Skinny Pop popcorn. I actually really love putting Trader Joe's elote seasoning on popcorn. If you haven't tried it, do it and your whole life will be changed. It's my sister's and my favorite thing in the whole world. And then I would drink an Alani energy drink because those are really good and kind of scary, addicting and good. So
I drink too many of those. We also
have different energy drinks that we're relying on these days.
I'm a white type of girl.
And my Celsius girl.
So what is, do you have music to get you pumped up for a wedding or when you're editing to get you in a creative headspace?
Yes. I listen to a good variety of music. I actually love just finding new stuff and new genres. I also am a big Swiftie and love Justin Bieber. So I'm basic sometimes too. But so I'd say I don't like to commit to one. I'm kind of a little bit all over the place.
How you're feeling? How the day, what the day brings.
What is your favorite thing to do outside of photography in the wedding industry?
Good question, Ashley. I just do not have anything. Well, I do. I love being with my dog and his name is Kodak. I love spending time with friends and family. I love working out too. And I actually became a yoga sculpt instructor this year. I've been doing yoga sculpt at Core Power for on and off kind of for 5 years. And I have always just been what would it be like to be an instructor? And I've also kind of always secretly wanted to be a DJ. With being a yoga sculpt instructor, you basically have to build a workout sequence to a beat. And you also start with an intention, end with an intention. So it's also a very good thought-provoking, reflective time. That's been very good for me and my busy schedule to kind of sit with myself while getting a good workout. So being this yoga sculpt instructor now is really fun. And when I'm there, I am just another human talking to other humans that aren't in the wedding industry. And it's been really good for me to just be a human there and have fun.
Hey, I attended Megan's yoga sculpt class and she kicked my butt. My butt was excellent.
I'm glad you like the playlist.
In your future, maybe.
DJ skills were excellent. I was I believe I even texted Christine and was like, I'm not going to be able to walk.
I'm so glad you were able to come, though. It was so fun.
So what is the best education you've personally learned from?
I would say over the years, podcasts have been amazing, especially for those who are newer in photography and might not have the money yet to invest in education or in courses or in networking groups. I would start with what is free and available. And there's so many people who give away really incredible tips on podcasts, even this one, Dare to Develop. I would even suggest you can go into the Apple podcast app and search a name of one of your favorite photographers, and it will just pull up all the podcasts that they've guest starred on. And a lot of the times they share lots of really helpful, insightful tips, or it's just really entertaining to get to know them more and understand kind of the way that they work. In terms of investment, that's a tough one because I feel like I've learned, there are differences in courses and some are better than others, but there's always things you can walk away from if with good knowledge, if you really challenge yourself. Being a part of E3 is probably the most helpful and learning just the luxury mindset. And I believe in changing the way that I think on a deep level in terms of a lot of things. So that's probably the best investment that I've made. When I first started in college, Jasmine Starr had a wedding photography masterclass.
I did
And it was free.
Yours was free. Mine cost a little $200 or something, but my dad bought it for me.
I literally did the live ones because I couldn't afford to pay the $200. Oh. So I did it live.
My dad was like, you're doing all these weddings and like, I'm afraid you're going to like mess it up. So I'm buying this for you for Christmas so you can learn and make sure that you do okay.
Looking out for you.
Yes.
I'm here for it.
Jasmine Starr was a great educator. She still is. She has a podcast now, but especially when we, like that masterclass, that had good tips in it back then.
Delving, and what is one daring leap you've taken in your business or life?
One daring leap I've taken in my life is really understanding like who I am as an artist and as a creative, and knowing the type of clients that like really fill my cup and that I just really enjoy getting to know and serving, and focusing on like pouring into those relationships and like into my own craft, like in the way that I know would benefit those clients and like the way they want their story told, which has in conjunction developed my brand more and more in the way that like I love. And it was scary at first. It's more like growing to like love yourself and your individual style and really honing that in and like trusting that like you're on a path that is good rather than just trying to create work that looks like everyone else. But in the end, you end up with work you love, clients you love, and you're taking more and more steps to just building also like a life that you love, like with your business as a part of that.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's great. And kind of what you're saying, I feel like we have FOMO a lot within our artistry and we just try to be like a lot of people, but it's so hard for us to dig deep into ourselves and what we actually love and who we are to produce the work that is individual to us. So definitely think you're great at that. And then to our next question, what do you feel like you're great at in your business?
I really love relationships. I love getting to know vendors and clients and being real with them, like being a safe space for people to be vulnerable and open and just like feeling like they don't have to have it all together for us to like be friends. And I love that like whenever I'm shooting, because I'm able to be a part of such beautiful, like intimate moments, or like sometimes if things happen that aren't as planned, like we can laugh about it, we can embrace it, we can photograph these moments. And then in terms of friendships, like just being a safe place for people to like share with, whether it's good or bad news, and to just like help support each other along the way.
I love that. So where can our listeners find you on social media, website, etc.?
You can find me on Instagram at Megan K Photography, also now on Threads.
Good plug.
Because we all needed another social media to learn. And my website is megankphotography.com.
Perfect. And so do you have any special announcements or offers for our listeners?
Yes. So I love offering mentorships over like a period of months and just like helping encourage you to really hone in and like find your style, find your client, understand, again, like what I had said, like yourself and like the people that fill your cup. And if you mention this podcast, send me a DM and I will offer you a discount on a mentor session or a mentorship.
Love it. And we will link that in the show notes as well. Megan's website and social media, so you know who to contact. But Megan, in closing, what is one thing you want to dare our listeners to do after hearing your episode?
I would like to dare everyone to believe in themselves, because you really don't know what is possible. And also you are so worth believing in.
I love that. Well, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I had so much fun hearing all about Megan's experience photographing a bachelor wedding and all of the good things that have come. We really appreciate Megan's transparency on just what her team looked like, what booking this wedding looked like, and more.
Mm-hmm. And I think what she talked about, just don't cut yourself out just because you think maybe you can't do this or somebody else will do this. She went in, she was like, maybe they're not even going to see this, but I'm going to put my info in. And it turned out so well for her. And we just love to see her just shine and just keep killing it.
Yeah. So from all her mantras of, I really loved the you can go farther with a friend one, to just shooting your shot, we really hope you take Megan's advice and Megan's lead by example for pursuing a lot of, you know, big things in your business and in your life. So catch you next time on Dare to Develop.
Thanks so much for joining us today on Dare to Develop.
We'd love for you to subscribe and leave us a review if you love today's episode.
Don't forget to check out the show notes at daretodeveloppodcast.com and follow along on IG at daretodevelop.
Catch us next week for more fun as we hear from creatives who have dared greatly in their businesses and developed community along the way.